casting it away, giving love away, what God's response will be, I mean, all the resources of heaven will just back us, and God's love will multiply inside of us. It's as simple as that. It really is. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless me now, anoint me so that as I preach, Lord God, that it would just, first of all, just be pure truth, your word, Lord God, and that being your truth, that it really would penetrate, sink deep, and Lord God, just do a work of helping increase our faith and to where our belief really turns, in many cases, turns us around, Lord God, and gets us on the right path to where we can truly be blessed by you and know you and fellowship with you and then be filled by you and with your love. That's our hope, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, I want to kind of quickly go through these sermon notes. They're printed right there in your bulletin. And talk about outreach and missions. Because if we really want a life where we are thriving, then we need to be engaged in outreach and missions. So first, okay, what's the difference? All right, outreach is reaching out to those in need with love and compassion. And reaching out can be, yeah, financially, you know, helping out somebody or an organization that's helping out the poor and the needy. I mean, Love Hope with Pastor Duane or Youth Hope, which is Christian Friendliness, Christian Cares, these organizations that we're already working with as you give your donations and you know, Jane is helping out, bring our donations to Christian Cares. Yeah, it's financially and with tangible gifts like that. But I want to encourage you too, oftentimes it's with our time and going and volunteering. And then beyond that, sometimes the most dignifying thing we can do for somebody in need is listening. And just listening when somebody has a need. This can be somebody at work. It doesn't even have to be some poor person on the street. But when you find somebody who has a need and they're needy, that, and especially though somebody who is down and out, they're downtrodden, oftentimes it's just looking them in the eyes and listening. And it's the most dignifying way of being a blessing to them. So giving of ourselves, giving of our heart, that's outreach. Now, missions is taking the gospel to people and culture groups where Christ is unknown. So it was very serendipitous, which means just kind of a happen chance thing, that we had the Gazulis' plan on coming here, and it happened right when I was planning on preaching on outreach and missions. And so it was great to hear a little bit about Chris's story, and that's missions. It's going. I mean, traditional missions is going across, usually across oceans, across seas, going to another culture, and all the difficulties of that. It's customs and visa work and learning a whole new language, learning a whole new culture, and the difficulties of trying to break down the barriers of your own stereotypes and prejudices, but their stereotypes and prejudices towards you. And I mean, it is a work that takes years, even a lifetime, to do well. Traditionally, that is missions. Now, what's the difference between missions and evangelism? Because isn't evangelism taking the gospel to people where Christ is unknown? Yes, and so evangelism and missions, there's this like circles that are overlapping. A lot of that, but missions is evangelism usually going across to another culture. All right. So our call first, just to outreach. And I put some text there. Proof text there, but that Jeremiah 22:16 passage really helps us to see the heart of God towards in outreach, because he says that when those people who engage in defending the cause of the poor and the needy, he says literally, is that not what it means to know me? Wow, so you want to know God, then engage in defending the needs of the poor, defending the cause of the poor and the needy. When we roll up our sleeves and get into the nitty and gritty, literally you're pressing in, and you will find that you're coming to know the heart of God even more. I mean, the Bible studies, Sunday school class, youth group, and all these things, they're great. We get to know God. But you know, a lot of times even that, and even in doing all that, I find people that, still faith is just kind of disjointed. Honestly, go and volunteer at Youth Hope. Go and volunteer with Pastor Dwayne. And especially as he goes down and right here in Rock Island, as he goes down and oftentimes he's there with Calvary International Church. You will really start to get to know deeply, intimately, the heart of God. Because that's where God's heart is. Exodus 22:22, we really hear God's jealous regard for the poor and the needy. And in biblical times, widows and orphans were the ones who were the most marginalized in the society, the most helpless in society, widows and orphans. And here's what God literally said, I mean, paraphrased, but it is an unveiled threat. And he says that if you mistreat the widows and the orphans, God says, I will make your wife a widow. I will make your children orphans. Whoa. That sounds like a very hostile God. Yeah. But I love that about God. I love his huge heart and his passionate jealousy for anybody that would ever take advantage of poor widows and orphans and the needy. He is jealously protecting them. I love that about God. And so God has this very watchful eye, and you can imagine if he's got this jealous regard for them, and all of a sudden some of his believers come and they start helping out those very people. God is, he just shines down his grace. He'll fill your heart up with love to give away. That's God's heart. Right? So, and here's where it even gets a little scary, gotta say, all right? But our salvation is in question if we are not ministering to the poor and the needy. What? Yeah, let me repeat it. Our salvation is in question if we're not reaching out to the poor and the needy. No, wait, how can you say that? Read Matthew 25. Now, you remember Jesus tells the parable and he says, hey, you know, on the judgment day, I'm going to sit there on the throne and I'm going to be separating the sheep from the goats. Remember that? He says, you know, the goats here on my left side. Hey, when I was in prison and you didn't visit me, I was naked and you didn't clothe me, I was hungry and you didn't give me food, I was sick and you didn't come visit me. Wait, whoa, Jesus, when did I see you like that and I didn't visit you? If I had known it was you, certainly, Jesus, I would have been there. When you didn't do it for one of the least of these, you didn't do it for me. And he's going to send them to hell. Literally, read it, Matthew 25:31 and following. Our salvation is in question if we're not ministering to the needy and poor. Wait, but we're saved by faith, right? Yes. But your faith, the evidence of your faith, will be seen as to how you responded to the needs of the poor and the needy. Because if you have sincere faith, and if you have God inside of you, and therefore God's love inside of you, God's going to say, how could you have walked and just passed by and ignored these needs? That's not faith, therefore. Your faith was invalid. It was just lip service, a bunch of talk. Wow. So if we have a tendency to have just kind of a cold shoulder towards the needs of the poor and the needy, big red flag right now. I mean, bells and whistles going off. Really. That should be an indicator that something's wrong in my heart. I don't know God like I should. My faith isn't at a level where it should be. Get my point? Okay? And so, get engaged. But here's the deal. As we get engaged in outreach, in helping out the poor and the needy, God starts showing up and showing up in my heart, and all of a sudden detonating love inside of my heart, and I start to get to know, really know the heart of God, and falling more in love with Him. So I'm inviting us all, and myself included, and please don't think I'm the expert here. I've been noticing, this is confession time, I've been noticing in my own heart a growing cynicism towards a lot of the poor. Anybody tracking with me here? Kind of, you know, that cynicism that says, well, man, so many times it's their own undoing. I mean, you know, and especially because of their sins. That kind of growing cynicism that starts to creep into the heart. And it's, man, there's so many of them, and you know, and come to us, and it's just a scam. Yeah, honestly. And I've unveiled a bunch of scams as a pastor when some of the poor and needy come. But here's the deal. Even if 8 out of 10 were scammers, what about the 2? And especially, here's my recommendation. Don't just hand $5 to a guy on the street says he needs a meal. First of all, if you really want to help that guy out, take him. Make sure that you buy the food. Second thing is, why give the guy in the street $5 and maybe provide one meal, maybe, when you can give $5 to Pastor Dwayne at Love Hope, or $5 to Christian Cares, and they'll feed 5 people with that $5. All of a sudden your money goes further, and you know they're doing it right. That's my recommendation, okay? And then get in there and help them, all right? Give them of your time, too. All right. So our call to missions, and I put down there these concentric circles because Jesus said, hey, first in Jerusalem, I'm calling you, you know, go and share the gospel. First in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. So it's like these concentric circles. Jerusalem, outer circle after that. Judea, outer circle, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, all right? And that's our call too. And we need to be engaged right here in Jerusalem, absolutely, and all the way to the ends of the earth. So if we're not going, hey, supporting missionaries. Support the ones who are going. Here's the fantastic, wild thing these days. Right here in Jerusalem, we can minister to the ends of the earth. Haven't you noticed people walking around the streets in Moline from African nations? And like with the Muslim headgear and everything? We can do cross-cultural ministry without ever having to move away from Moline. And that's the cool thing that's happening today, right here in the United States. There's, with the immigration that we have. And I've heard amazing, dramatic stories of covenant churches who engaged in ministering. And there was one, I want to say in North Dakota, covenant church, and some African refugees, I want to say it was like from Somalia or something like that, and they did this amazing work of evangelism and brought a bunch of Somalis to Christ. And many of those Somalis went back to Somalia with Christ and with the goal of now going back to Somalia and evangelizing their families and their friends. And they did it. And we've got covenant churches popping up in Somalia because of this North Dakota covenant church doing cross-cultural evangelism right there in their own neighborhood. So we can do missions here, all right? So that's a cool thing. This illustration of the Dead Sea versus the Sea of Galilee, here's what that's about, all right? Point number 6 in your sermon notes. If you ever look at the map in Israel, there's 2 seas, okay? There's the Sea of Galilee, and it's smaller, it's up north, and then the larger one is the Dead Sea. Now, if you've never heard about this, but the Dead Sea, you can literally go, you can never drown in the Dead Sea. The salt level is so high that you literally, when you go into the salt sea, you can't sink. It's like physically impossible to go underwater. And because of that salt level, it cannot sustain life. There are no fish, no marine life at all in the Dead Sea. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. Okay? Versus the Sea of Galilee. It's teeming with life. Fishermen, you know, all kinds of fish and everything up in the Sea of Galilee. What is the difference between the two? This is it. in the Sea of Galilee up north, you've got tributaries, rivers and streams coming in and going out. And so there's this flow of water. Therefore, it can sustain life. At the Dead Sea, you have tributaries coming in, streams coming in, and nothing going out. And so it stagnates there. Now this, many Bible scholars have used as an illustration of what the Christian life can be like. We have to be very careful, because we need to be like the Sea of Galilee, with streams coming in and streams flowing out. In other words, we need to have Bible studies and listen to the preaching and come to worship, and these are streams coming in. This is, you know, streams where God's activity is coming into my heart, into my life. But perish the thought and the idea that I'm not giving away, when I'm not doing any outreach, when I'm not volunteering and helping and doing anything to give of that away, things stagnate. And I have seen cases too where people literally are extraordinarily religious. They can even develop a religious spirit, and it is so, so wrong and far off from God's heart. Oh, they can quote you scripture. I mean, and yet it's dead inside. And here's the evidence: the fruit of the Spirit is not there. Such a void of love, such a lack of joy, such a lack of peace in that person. So here again, I mean, what we need to be doing is, therefore, taking in, definitely taking in from God, and then giving it away. Honestly, a lot of us need to maybe even, dare I say, spend less time in Bible studies and in the Word, and more time getting out there, getting engaged, giving it away. Right? So our hearts will prosper as we do that, as we increase the outflow. Right? Now, practical suggestions. Let's just, you know, rubber hitting the road. And I put them down there. Our Jerusalem, first and foremost, needs to be home. Our own home life. If our faith is not manifesting itself in actions in our own home, in the marriage, with the kids, with the grandkids, then there's something wrong with our faith. So right there, Jerusalem is at home. And establishing our homes as a place where God and His Word and the worship of God is thriving. And then Judea is our community, our school, our work, our church here. I mean, where you shop, where you dine. There's an example. When you go to a restaurant, some of us pray before our meal, right? You know, okay. When the waitress comes with the food, and right before, and as she delivers it, or he, you can say, hey, by the way, we always pray for our meal before eating. Is there something we can be praying for you? And oftentimes, that waitress or waiter will go, thank you. Yeah. Actually, and then, I mean, sometimes it's heartfelt stuff. My dad's got cancer or something like that. Great, we'll pray for you. All right? These are simple ways that right there in our Judea, we can connect with people and bless them, okay? Samaria, Youth Hope, Love Hope, Christian Cares, get involved. And you know, Juanita, she's the Deacon of Missions, and our team, our missions team, all right, we've got to roll up our sleeves. We got it. And we're going to try and help get you connected and provide opportunities. Let's go and serve. Let's go and serve. Missions. I mean, mission trips. We've got to coordinate some of those. Support of missionaries. We're already supporting missionaries in this church, all right? And support of missionary and compassion projects. So these are practical ways that we can get involved. Last thing, I already mentioned it. God's peculiar math, I told the kids, it doesn't add up. But here's the deal. You will never in your life be so rich and prosperous as when you start giving it away. Doesn't make sense, does it? Wait, but if I give it away, I will have... No. You will never be so rich and prosperous, and especially in love, as when you start giving it away. Do yourselves a massive favor Start giving it away. Giving it away. Yeah, do it. And trust me, God will so multiply and multiply. And here's the verse, Luke 6:38. Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you." Oh, not just given to you. "A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." There it is, the Word of God. In conclusion, I got some questions there for reflection. Boom. Are you active in outreach and missions? Do you need to be more active? Will you commit to be involved in the outreach and mission ministries of our church? I mean, it's a yes or no question. What is one practical step you can take this week to get more involved in missions and outreach? Don't just put this on the back burner. Write it in. Think about it. What practical thing can I do? One step. Just write it in. All right? And God bless you. God bless us all. Amen. All right, let's shift gears and move into a time of corporate prayer.